In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I got to get caught up from the early service. My notes have to travel today, just in case I decide to look at them. This morning we are celebrating what is known in the Protestant Church as Transfiguration Sunday. And what that basically means is that story you just heard of Jesus going up to the mountaintop with some old dudes showing up in his glory. It's this moment, right? And what's happening is the true glory of God is showing through the incarnate God, Jesus Christ. It's being revealed to these three, you know, Peter, James, and John, this sort of small group within those who are following Jesus. And it's showing them something that is to come. But of course, Peter isn't so sure about that, and he thinks we should just stay here. And then we move forward to this concept of Paul teaching the church. And Paul is trying to guide the church to understanding that this glory of God, which has existed always, first seeing on the face of Moses when he went up to the mountain and encountered God, but the people were so afraid of what they saw, this literal shining of Moses' face when he had encountered God, he put a veil on. And having put that veil on, there was this time where it was understood that this connection to God wasn't quite what we experience on this side of the cross. So our passage today out of 2 Corinthians starts with "since then" in verse 12. Since then, we have such a hope. And the first question we should ask is, since when? It should be our first question. So if we back up a little bit in chapter 3, the verse 4, we say, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life." So we are living in this time through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is a familiar understanding of the church. Yes? Yes, okay. It's just going to get better. But we have this understanding within the church that the Spirit of God moves within his people, and therefore Paul is trying to explain to the church, this is sort of the same event. We are ministers of the new covenant, the covenant that we come into through our baptism, through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, the dying with him and rising again. We live within this new covenant. And there's something has changed quite dramatically in the new covenant that we are ministers of. And Paul continues to explain this, beginning in verse 12. "Since this new covenant exists, and we are ministers of this new covenant in Jesus Christ by the power of his Spirit, since then we have such hope. We act with great boldness." Well, maybe. "Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside." So when Moses came down with his glowing face, the people were what? Afraid. Strangely, I think Paul is struggling with what the church and all of us within the church continue to struggle with, is we understand through the power of the Holy Spirit that the power of God indwells us. Amen? And then the veil has been set aside, and then we get nervous. So that boldness sometimes is a little hard to find. It's hard to find it within us, and it's hard to find it sometimes within the church, is most especially when the church is in the world. That is where we tend to struggle. So that fear of the glory of God is not a new thing. The fact that it is within us, that's the sort of the part of the new covenant that we should be getting very excited about. And so as Paul continues, he says, Moses put this veil over his face so that the people wouldn't be, you know, shook up. "But their minds were hardened indeed to this very day when they hear the reading of the old covenant. That same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside." So a question is, do we know ourselves to be in Christ? Anybody? You know yourself to be in Christ? Amen? Yes. So the veil, brothers and sisters, has been set aside. So what does that mean? Well, if we find ourselves in Christ, Christ in us, power of the Holy Spirit, we become the glowing representation of Jesus Christ in the world. You're getting nervous now, aren't you? Well, you should. It's something to be considered, isn't it? So set aside in Christ this veil. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. That's important to know. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And who doesn't want that? Amen? There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we have to start to hear that. What does this really mean for us? How do we live with this veil being set aside? How do we begin to understand that the glory of God that had shone on the face of Moses, that's quite frankly frightened the people, so he covered his face, that same glory made present in Jesus Christ on this mountaintop in the fullness of his glory at this glimpse that we get today in the transfiguration, that glory, that lightning strike, if you will, the power of the Holy Spirit, that is in the church, amen? And you, brothers and sisters, and I, shockingly, are that church. So we have to begin to ask ourselves about the boldness, don't we? We have to start thinking, are we bold? Are we really doing these things that God has called us to? And I'd say, in many ways, absolutely. But we also need to begin to understand that we are literally a reflection of the image of God. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Sounds like a lot of pressure to me. But there's times in which the church is very good at recognizing these concepts. We're not always good at letting people know that that's exactly what's happening. So there are different ways in which the church gathers. Sometimes we gather on retreat weekends where we just kind of let our hair down a little bit, so to speak. I don't let down near as much as I used to. But the concept is this, we'll go away and we have these moments where we're free, right? We're free to be crazy. Fools for Jesus, call it whatever you want. One of those weekends that happens to take place began in the Roman Catholic tradition, picked up with permission by the Episcopal Church, in case anybody's checking copyrights out there, is a movement called the Curcio Movement. Some people may know things such as the Walk to Emmaus and other things within other traditions. And there's this piece that I was reflecting on that happens in a Curcio weekend. Anybody here ever attended Curcio or Walk to Emmaus or something to that effect? A few? Yeah. How many have gone to maybe 10? As a team member or some sort. So you discover, right? You discover these things as you begin to involve yourself within the movement itself. And it's just a time for people to come and kind of let their hair down and let the Spirit of God just move in and see what God might do through his people once the veil is actually set aside. And one of the things that happens as the weekend comes to a close, of course, being good Episcopalians, we don't end anything without a Eucharist because we just want to remember why we're there, and that is to be in the presence of God. And so the team will actually have a conversation, at least within the leadership, and they will have recognized over the period of the weekend that there was a person who became so transformed by living freely in the power of the Spirit, it was obvious pretty much to everyone. It just happens. Sometimes it happens to more than one person. And what happens then is we take that person aside and we say, hey, when we process for our final Eucharist, we want you to carry the cross. And in a sense, that person becomes an actual image of God, the visible light, the transformation that they've experienced by taking the moment to set that veil aside and let the Spirit of God move in them. They begin to move in a way that looks very different than the way they were moving when they arrived. So we hand them the cross and say, you lead us, as a very clear reflection of the glory of God. I don't think we ever really tell anybody that. But that's essentially what the church is doing. So you lead us in carrying the cross, knowing that the cross is the true glory, and you are merely a reflection. Paul continues, and he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. And then something else happens as Paul's teaching the church. He's now basically led us on to this concept that the glory of the Lord is in the church. Amen? I don't think we deny that, do we? And he's even challenged the church a little bit in their boldness of how they move with this veil removed, not behind a veil. And we have to ask ourselves, and we should, what do we do next? And knowing all these things, Paul, and catch this when you're studying scripture, when he then begins next, therefore, now if he starts saying, if he's told you something about the church, and he says, therefore, if you're looking for some direction, brothers and sisters, it's about to come. It's about to come. He says, therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, not potentially, not maybe, not on occasion engaged, we are engaged, amen? By the very claiming of this faith in Jesus Christ, being brought into the body through our baptism, our death and resurrection with Jesus Christ, and the fulfilling of his promise of the Holy Spirit, we become that image, reflected dimly in a mirror, but an image nonetheless, that should look like Christ. And we are engaged by his grace and mercy in this ministry, so we do not lose heart. In the midst of this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. Oh. See, church was a whole lot more fun when you just show up on Sunday, get a cup of coffee and a donut, and call it a day. Amen? Now, I dug church like that. I could sit in church, and I'd be thinking of all the things I'm going to be doing with the rest of my day. And then I made a minor mistake, for some, not to me. But at first I wasn't sure. And I decided, if all this is true, and the Spirit of God is indwelling me, and this veil has been removed, and Paul, who is constantly calling us to boldness, is constantly causing conflict within me when he does that, I need to maybe think about it. Now, something happens. Now, if anybody here ever been to like a Bible study with me or something to that effect, or even a meeting of any kind, so we get through the meeting. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, yeah. But yeah, I get it. I'm happy to open the meeting most of the time. But at the end of the meeting, I'm generally going to say, hey, anybody want to pray for us? Anybody heard that? Anybody immediately gone, oh, I think I put on two different shoes today. Yeah, we start looking at our feet, and I was going to say something nice so it didn't look like I did that on purpose, but I do. I absolutely do it on purpose. Why? Because it's my job to challenge you and to say to you, look, I believe this faith in Jesus Christ is all the things that he promised it to be. I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, I, for whatever reason, only really by his grace and mercy, I become a reflection of him to the world. Not him. A reflection. And we have to begin to wonder, well, what does that look like? And if it looks like a very private, quiet faith of your own, that doesn't really reflect anything to the world. Now, I know we all have moments where that's where we need to live and be, but brothers and sisters, the church has been quiet long enough, amen? The church has been silent long enough. The church has sat in the pew long enough, as my dear wife would say, and this won't be an insult here because we don't have any pine. You know, if we're just hanging out, sipping the wine and riding the pine, we're really not reflecting to the world what Jesus has put into us through the power of the Holy Spirit, have we? And we have to ask ourselves, should we do that? Should we be bold? Well, Paul, the finest missionary this church has ever seen, is saying, yeah, be bold. Be bold. Be allowing the Spirit to move in. Set the veil aside and let it shine. And I get a lot of grief because I stand up here like this on occasion. And there are times that there's just, it's not about me coming and giving you some book report on something I might have read last week. Brothers and sisters, God is saying things to me. And he's saying them to me because he knows I'm going to say them to you boldly. Like it or not, the fact of the matter is, when we are baptized into this body, we are in this ministry. We are the ministers of the new covenant. We are the ones who are growing in our faith and allowing the Spirit to move at such a level that we are literally becoming a reflection of the glory of God in this world. Amen? And there are times you just got to say it. Now, some will leave here today and some will watch, and I'm sure they'll have a good time with it. But the fact of the matter is this. If I was cheering on the Lightning right now, you'd be with me going, yeah, let's go. Woo, go Lightning. And nobody'd think anything of it, would they? Not a thing. Of course we're cheering for the Lightning. But brothers and sisters, I'm called to cheer for God. Not only that, I'm supposed to be the coach. Y'all are the team, and I'm saying, we need to get up and cheer for God. We need to be bold. So do I test you? Yes, I do. How do I do it? I do it in little ways. I ask you questions, and I go like this. And you people sometimes answer, because you moved. So we're no longer the frozen chosen. I saw you move. Now, this, I'm not trying to get on you about anything. Or maybe. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is this. There's something happening here. And it's real. And it's more real than cheering for the Lightning. No offense. It is the thing. It is everything. And for whatever reason, by God's mercy, he chose us. I mean, I'm with you. What was he thinking? Honestly. I mean, he probably could have done better. And I'm sure many people are thinking that now. You come to Episcopal Church and you get this nut standing up here carrying a Bible of all things, reading from it, waving it around and saying, let's do something. Now we're moving here now. We see evidence, amen. The Lord keeps sending folks to help us and he keeps sending us folks that need our help. Let me rephrase that. He's sending us folks that need his help. They need to see his glory. And they come because they do. And some stay, just like Peter wanted to stay. But this glory isn't just for you. This glory is to recognize that everything God has promised and the strength that he promises you in the power of the Holy Spirit to do this ministry, to be the ministers of this new covenant, that's real too. And it's yours. And Paul says, be bold in that. And why wouldn't you be? I mean, if you believe God is over all things, amen? And is he over you? I mean, who's ready to join me standing out on the street preaching the word to God to people that are passing by? Excellent. Woo, we are going out. But brothers and sisters, this is the thing. And I, believe me, I'll go. And I'm ready to go. There are times I stand up here and I preach and I think, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm just going to go, let's go, and literally walk out the building and take you all with me and say, let's go minister to the world because people need to see the glory of God. I see it in you, but if we just hold it, if it just reminds us of this little song that we enjoyed so much in Sunday school and we don't really listen to the rules of the song, aren't we broken? Well, you remember the song, right? Choir? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, be bold. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. I chose this verse. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One more time, because you're standing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it
shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
That's what bold feels like. That's how the Spirit can move. When we actually physically move with the Spirit's movement becomes obvious. Brothers and sisters, be bold and be joyful.